because it matters. In this episode, we delve into the world of access and security solutions in football stadiums. How do we ensure that thousands of fans can safely enter the stadium and have an unforgettable experience? What technologies are used in this process? And what challenges need to be overcome so that everyone wins? Let's explore the world of safe, secure, and seamless access solutions together with our host, Wilma Werner.
Welcome to Because It Matters, the podcast where we open the doors to innovation, merge aesthetic with function and security with elegance. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this special episode because European Championship is about to happen. And my special guest today is Michael Andlauer, who I think will be the absolute pro in visiting football stadiums. I myself have been to quite a few of them, and I think Michael outnumbers me by far. Michael, what do you think? To how many football stadiums have you been in the past?
Wow. I think many, but I really can't count them, or I haven't counted.
Can you guess?
More than 100.
More than 100.
Sure. So, yes.
And if we have someone listening who thinks he or she has visited more than 100 stadiums, please let us know, because that would be epic to know. I think I've never met someone who's been to a three-digit amount of football stadiums. And I'm very happy to have you on board for this episode, for this special episode, because today we're talking about soccer or football, depending on where you live and where it takes place, about soccer stadiums. And Michael is an expert. Michael, please tell us about yourself. Who are you in the Dom Macabre world?
So first, thanks for having me. I'm a member of the Dom Macabre world since quite more than 20 years, and I'm currently acting nowadays as lead of sales in security doors or entrance systems control. So entrance systems control, what is the meaning of entrance systems control? It's about a physical method to grant or to deny access into a building, into an event location, to every site you can imagine. And I'm acting here in Germany with a team, and we are developing the German market, we are closing deals, we are building different type of sites. And before that, I was doing this almost similar job on a global scale within the Dom Macabre world.
And why are you the best expert that we could think of for this special episode?
Thanks for that. I think
very welcome.
I'm not sure if I'm the best, but at least I have seen so many different sites throughout the years and have been in touch with all type of stakeholders which are working in and around stadiums. Guess that's something special.
Absolutely. And you told us you've been to more than 100 stadiums. What would you say, what is your probably favorite one that you've been to in the past? And why so?
I would nominate two.
Okay.
One is really worldwide, and that's a very special place in Mexico. It's Guadalajara. It's like it's a mid-size district, and it's on a high altitude. And within the desert next to the city, they have developed a complete new stadium. Mm-hmm. And the design, the shape of the stadium is almost like a volcano.
Oh, really?
So it looks like a volcano, the roof topping, etc. It starts very on the floor and the surrounding leveled, and it really, if you see the shadow of the Guadalajara stadium, it looks really like a Vesuv.
Really? And how many people do fit into that stadium?
Oh, I need to double check that one, but I think it was 60 something thousand. Mm-hmm. 60, 70, around that.
So quite a few.
And it's very open, it's very mixed, so you have really a circus around where you can meet And then you enter the tribunes, the seatings, and you have service area. So it's really also to have a little fiesta around, you know. It's quite nice, and it meets, you know, from the type of feeling, it is really you are in Latin America, or at least in the entry of Latin America. So you have this very active, dynamic environment, and you have really a very sophisticated building standards. It's really state of the art, and it was like opened like 6-7 years ago. Well, that was really, really impressive. That's from the world scale. On my list, on the European side, I'm still impressed on the Wembley Stadium in London. Mm-hmm. That's a mythos. It's really special. It's huge. It is iconic. So many, many aspects fits with the Wembley Stadium. Wow.
And how many times have you been to Wembley? What do you think?
In fact, 4 or 5 times. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depends on where you're looking from. Always for business. That means really for designing, for congresses, not really for a match. Still missing.
Okay. And are you yourself, as a spare time person, are you into football?
I'm a typical championship supporter. So world championships, European championships, Confed Cup. So this is the type of events I really like, and I'm supporting. And once in a while, we are, as a family, with friends in a stadium, mainly in a closer area, like I'm living in the south of Europe, not of Europe, of Germany, which is in the center of Europe, so France, Switzerland, Germany. In that neighborhood I'm living, so there is Basel, there is Freiburg, as smaller cities with stadiums, and that's quite nice to be there, watching a match, having your sausage, having a beer, and enjoying the time.
Yeah. Are you, as a football fan, be it an international match or a local match or a Bundesliga match, are you still able to go into a stadium and watch the match purely as a fan without the technical expertise that you have?
Absolutely.
Well, you can.
Absolutely. Very much indeed. However, at least by entering or leaving, I see all the technical details. But I'm there to enjoy the match, and I really enjoy that.
And let's assume I have never been to Freiburg yet, unfortunately. But if I, as a fan, enter a stadium, what are the typical touch points that I, as a fan, get in touch with Dormakaba products in a football stadium?
There are many possibilities. So if you enter the stadium, you have a ticket control, so the crowd management to get people to the right entrance. And furthermore to the right tribune, to the right district in the stadium. So the first touch point is really the checkpoint. So ticket checkpoint, entrance control. Typically there are turnstiles, tripods, swing doors made by Dormakaba in the best cases. That's the first point you get in touch. Furthermore, you are really entering to the building, typically. And there you have different type of equipment, like doors who open for you automatically, further swing gates who give you direction that you are in the right block. Or if you move then, let's say, to the VIP areas, then you have more sophisticated equipment like automatic doors, sensor gates. And besides that, you have many, many manual doors which can be equipped with locks, with access management, with door closers. So not necessarily you will meet them as a spectator, as you don't have access rights there. And what I don't want to hide is you can have access to the emergency equipment of Dormakaba. So these are these famous red buttons who are generating an alarm, opening in rescue way, things like that. fingers crossed that you don't have to use them.
Yeah, hope so too. Yeah.
In a good state-of-the-art building site, like a stadium, nowadays this is in there and can be done by dormakaba.
Mm. Yeah. You are included into the building process from the very beginning, right?
If we talk about a new build, yes.
Okay.
If we talk about a rebuild, depends on the complexity of building. Nowadays, I mean, a stadium is one of the most complex buildings in terms of stakeholders. You mm-hmm. have usually in the center of Europe, you have the football clubs who are the main user, but they are eventually only the user. Somebody else is the owner, mainly the city of Frankfurt, the city of Düsseldorf, some, or you have a private owner if there's something in between. So you have to manage different stakeholders, and depending who is in the lead, they decide on the planning procedures.
Hmm.
But if we talk about a new build, yes, there will be an investment, and you will have architect firms, you have specialists who are on different layers acting, and we as a team, we help them with specifications, with white papers and things like that.
Hmm. Yeah. So this is the kind of technical part. And what is your main goal in the stadium, kind of the mission that you want to fulfill?
Yeah, the mission is basically the dormakaba mission. Every place that matters, we want to be the company who helped to secure the usage of the building and make it as safe as possible to the users.
Thank you.
Security in the stadium.
And Michael, you've been to numerous stadiums and you've known them from either new builds or rebuilds, and you've been included into matters of security and safety. And before we dive into these two, can you please give us a brief definition of the difference between the two from your point of view, security and safety?
Sure, I am. I can. And I think there is really a differentiation between both. The security aspect is really to ensuring that the major event can take place. I mean, we all know, we have seen pictures from matches which have been critical or too much emotions. So there might be the need to make sure that people who are in block A stay in block A, and the opposite is block C, and so we keep them a bit of in each block to make sure that all the others have a safe procedure. And security is really identifying, monitoring, ensuring that the operational process can take place. And this starts with the entry. In effect, so to have a secure entry system, ticket, access granted, and bring these people to the destination where they are supposed to be. And the way, therefore, is secured and the exit is secured. So we don't have a mess or an insufficient situation which creates us an headache. So security. If we have a secure process with secure equipment, the operators can rely and they are sure that it takes place in the way. Now, to create security, you need devices. And this leads me to safety. A device can, practically speaking, be a machine. However, a machine does not feel comfortable for us humans. So if you are moved forward by a turnstile and pushed forward, that does not necessarily feel nice. So that's why we don't do it. We have turnstiles which are running on low energy. So we have a safety for the users, for the humans. And we have even in all aspects tested that by internal and external notified bodies to ensure and secure that. So safety is for us as spectators, users, employees, that we are not hurted in any case by the devices. The security aspect is that we can rely on the devices, that we have the right information, that they keep in their place and their function as they should have. Mm-hmm. These are the two major differences. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's a bit complex and it's a bit theoretical. However, it's really important and it needs to be highlighted that both aspects need to be covered in order to have a good operation.
Yeah. And can you tell us a bit more about possible, is it a security risk or safety risk? Both. So what are the possible risks in a stadium and how you or how Dormakaba can help to minimize them?
The practical safety risks are if you can be hurted at the end of the day. And that means you need to have the right understanding, and that's guided by the security that we don't have too many people in one area, that we have the passageways free, that we have the rescue ways in the right dimension, and that we guide people to the right place. And that means in time, at a time, and in an absolute space. So both risks are going very close to each other. So if security is failing, you have unfortunately a high risk to be hurted, and that means you are not safe. Mm. However, we don't have in the stadiums nowadays big topics that have been dramatically reduced. And for the coming up European Championship, that's supposed to be an event of friends, event of friendly spectators, family. So the audience which is be expected is not like in a traditional Liga operations when there's a final competition. So this is a meeting of different nations. People are traveling, therefore. So it's supposed to be a good event. However, if we can rely on the security measures, the guidance, the information at the time and as early as possible, we will definitely have a safe operation.
And what are the aspects that you need to keep in mind? You already mentioned that masses of people approaching a stadium all at the same time. So do you have bulks of people at one spot? What further risks do you have to keep in mind if you build a stadium, if you plan a stadium?
The crowd management is a crucial part. That means a stadium is not on a blueprint. A stadium is in a certain environment, so there's an infrastructure. So if there is only one access point from the parking, if there is only one subway station close by, so automatically you know where the people are coming from. Usually they don't come with a bicycle, they come with cars, they come with public transportation. So you need to consider that. And then let's say we as Dormakaba, we are supporting the stadiums with the access control part, with the entrance control checkpoint, so we can support them with having the best material there and have the right understanding how many capacity maximum you get through in 1 minute, etc. pp. And it needs to fit into the overall planning. But each stadium is a little bit different as the environment is different and the absolute amount of people is different entering at a time.
So you have streams of people. I am located in Düsseldorf and we have, I think, 35,000 people that fit into the stadium. And every time that I go to either this stadium or a different one, I feel like we do need a solution for all these people to enter a stadium and even more so after the match, because at that point, everyone wants to leave the stadium basically at the same time. And this creates huge potential for security risks and safety risks. At the same time, you mentioned it, we want to experience a fantastic match. We have a fantastic time with our loved ones, with friends, celebrate sports. How, let's say, I am a stadium operator. How can you help me balance the need for security on one hand with creating a welcoming atmosphere for fans?
Yeah, that's
a fantastic question.
Very crucial. It's a super question. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
I mean, usually you can't change too much on your overall infrastructure, right? So Düsseldorf is the existing infrastructure with roads, with trains, other cities the same. The most easy part is if you can really do a new build. So if you do a new build, you get your highway access points, etc., pp. That's great. However, usually you don't have that one. You can guide as good as possible with different offers. That means, first of all, I think a user guidance is key, is absolutely key. That means that people really understand where is the supposed way. So you design the way people are leaving in a 360-degree stadium. And then you need to also... You have to design attractions. So if you know that you have only three main entrances, but the stadium circle as such have six exit points, then you need to find attractions. That means restrooms, another sausage offering, some merchandise at the right places, so that you attract people and keep the speed out by leaving. That means if you're leaving with your friends and then, oh, there's a new scarf, let's have a look.
Uh-huh.
Okay? There is a new tricot or another addition. So you keep people attracted and then you gain time and you gain space and then it's much more relaxed for everybody.
Mm.
As soon as it becomes narrow, as soon as it becomes directed to one or two, then it's always... very compact.
Yeah,
that's difficult.
And I think you already mentioned the density of groups of people, and hopefully none of us will ever have to experience that. In a case of an emergency or if you need to evacuate the stadium, can you tell us a bit more about escape route safety in a football stadium? How do you ensure that?
You can ensure that, first of all, it has to be part of the design. And I don't know if I mentioned already, but you have an entrance situation and a walkthrough, and you have your way, and you have an exit situation. In the exit situation, we usually combine entrance plus additional doors, or even better, gates, huge gates. So if you give a passage free of 6-7 meters, this is very easy. You just walk, you know, that's like walking. And this in combination with the entrance situations, which you also make free and give for free usage, then to exit, that gives you enormous space so you can stop and talk a bit or just walk.
Mm.
And the same thing has to work for an emergency situation. So the building site as such has... for the spectators, it's an open space area usually. So then you can activate the rescue. So additional doors going to open and lead you really to the playing field outside the seats. So it's a combination, hardware equipment, huge gates in the fence areas, which really keep space up.
And now you talk about the, not flooding people, but streams of people. And I remember multiple times that I have entered a stadium, the crowd is dense, and then you enter. And one of the what's the first question? If you enter a stadium, what's the first question that you ask yourself?
Where do I get my sausage?
Very important question. Yeah.
Great.
Efficiency and operation, accessibility and inclusion.
So, where do I get my first sausage? In my case, it's where do I get the wine? Do you drink beer at the stadium? You do. Michael, you are from the south of Germany.
Once in a while. There are also other drinks. The German most famous Spezi is something I don't want to miss.
Okay, when I go to Freiburg, I will test it. So for me, it would be, where do I get a wine, or do they even have one? What is the longest time that you ever have waited in line at a stadium?
I can't remember, but it was most definitely somewhere in the UK where it took ages to get a French fries or something like that.
How is that? That doesn't sound too efficient.
No, indeed. That's a big topic to many stadiums in the past. I think if we see the modern stadiums within all over the world, things have changed dramatically in a way that either you are a club member, that means you have a season pass, and the season pass is not only your season pass is also your loyalty membership, it is your payment method. That means you are entering the stadium and your journey starts with presenting your season card at the turnstile. So the season card grants you the access. And next, like we mentioned before, you are so hungry. Yeah? Before you even reach out to your seat, you take one of the beer shops or the sausage shops or the whatever, fries shops, and your season card is also your payment method. That means you have a cashless payment. And cashless payment saves time to everybody, operator, kitchener, service, and yourself. You don't have to tiggle around with coins or things like that. So that's really push us forward in the efficiency of a stadium operating.
It makes it easier for everyone, isn't it? Like everyone wins if you have that kind of system. Imagining entering the stadium, getting the sausage, getting the fries, getting the drink. And the most time that you spend, especially before the match starts, is waiting in line, isn't it?
Yeah, it gives you just more real time of enjoying. Yeah? Either enjoying the food, enjoying shopping, and even after, let's say, the event. If you are a member, many clubs have this loyalty dots, points, whatever. So if you had 3 sausages for your friends and 2 beers and 1 Coke, even though there are some occasions you get something on top as a season member, or, you know, oh, you have reached out, it was your 3rd visit within that season, and you get something on top, ketchup and mayo for free or whatever. You know, this gives the opportunity to the operator to create such marketing bundles and gives you the pleasure to get access to some of these smaller duties.
And to spend more time in the merchandise shop, for example.
Exactly. Getting new shirts, latest editions.
Yeah. Will you get a new shirt for the European Championship?
Yeah, we're still thinking about. I you don't see me, but yes, I still have the generation before, which is called the Mannschaft,
yeah,
which was a brand of the German national team. The new one, I think, if I go for it, definitely for the purple one.
Love it.
If,
good choice.
Then the purple one.
Good choice.
That's what we have to do, you know.
So coming back to efficiency, because I remember, and I've been to multiple stadiums in the first, I think, 4 leagues in Germany, and you spend the most time waiting, preferably not, maybe you get a new shirt from your favorite team. And I sometimes wonder, isn't smart access solutions something that should be implemented in any stadium to benefit the fans?
It could and it should.
Yeah.
Definitely. And what we recognize here in Germany, but also in the center of Europe, it is definitely moving forward, you know? I mean, everybody, either you are a club member, I mean, there are many loyal fans, supporters. That's one part. Then you have the others like me who are once in a while. So we buy our tickets online and da-da-da. So you get it on your mobile phone. Meanwhile, most of the first and second league, I think all of the first and second league stadium over here have QR readers. That means with your mobile phone, you grant and manage your access as a one-time visitor. So things are moving forward to get a dedicated and smart access. Mm-hmm. So that's on a good track. Have developed within the last 15 years massively.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic to hear. And you mentioned access, and I think of accessibility. I mean, for my part, it's super easy. I do not need any devices. I do not have any handicaps. But talking about people who need some additional support to enter a stadium, how do you, or how does Domacaba ensure that stadium infrastructures are accessible to all visitors, no matter what handicap they have or what disability mm-hmm. they have?
Yeah. I mean, what we, besides having the equipment and the hardware, we advise in the planning phase, in the early design phase, really to have the bundles of access points and dedicated support areas. That means you have, let's say, tripods, which are quite compact devices. And these devices are next to a wider supported line. And this line is then not a turnstile, that's more like a swing door or a sensor gate, and it's served by a security guard. And that makes sure that let's say, if there are disabled people, if you are with a broken leg over there, that you just have a better way to get in. Still automated. Yeah. So quite an sufficient, sophisticated process, but more space and supported. If you then move further in, so if you have passed the checkpoint, then what we definitely advise, and what is meanwhile standard really of modern buildings, is to have dedicated areas which are supported with doors who open for you in an automatic way, so that you don't have to push manually heavy doors. And I mean, if you have two sticks and have to push, I think everybody knows that's even for healthy people very difficult. Yeah. So if you have a health issue, it's even more difficult. Or if you are an elderly person, if you are with your grandson there and you are over 80, you have not eventually the power like a 30-year-old person. So that helping make it granting smooth access.
I've recently noticed that these sliding doors are even more common when it comes to restrooms. Is that due to accessibility, or how does that come?
Accessibility is one topic, absolutely right. The other topic is hygienic. That means also given by the recent COVID topic, even more pushed. If you have to touch a door, you touch a door. If you touch a door, you are in contact with the handle, and the handle was touched a second before by somebody else, etc. And if you see nowadays modern restroom in a public environment like an airport, then what do you find there? In the idle world, really an automatic door. So you enter that restroom area, you have your sanitary facilities, and then you move out. You have a water which is opened automatically. You have the soap which is generated by a sensor. You have towels which are paper towels, whatever, which are automatically activated, and then you should touch a door again. That doesn't make sense. So to have a seamless full process, it's essential to us as an industry, but also for many users, it's really a very comfortable way to have a automated door as well to enter, but to leave particular the restroom.
So both helpful with regards to hygiene and with regards to accessibility.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Access control and VIP areas.
So one of Dharmakava's goals is to enhance the experience for everyone, be it with some special need or without. Now let's talk about the other side of that aspect. I tell you something. It was years ago, but I went to a football match in North Rhine-Westphalia. I will not tell you what team it was. And I happened to be able to sneak into the VIP area. And I think we agree that usually that shouldn't happen. How do you grant access control to areas like the VIP areas or even more sensitive areas in a stadium?
So Wilma, have you said you got into the VIP area without the invitation?
That's not what I said. Right? Okay. I just said I happened to sneak into.
Okay, but good point. Practically, we have the guest block, we have the seating areas, and we have the VIP areas. So these are the three areas of the spectators, fans, visitors of a stadium. Basically, you have the ticket area and the checkpoint. And usually, if it goes to the VIP area, I mean, you have guidance systems in the stadia. But if before you enter the real VIP side where you have all these nice dishes and beer for free, etc., you have another sensor gate. So you have, again, you have to present your ticket. In the stadiums we try to convince them to have really an automated sensor gate so that you have a second check similar to the one. That also works, you know, in some areas or in some stadiums you can have VIP packages where you drive into a dedicated parking house, parking slot, down parking, entering by your season card or VIP card with an elevator to the 8th floor and then entering the VIP area. So at one point, either in the down parking or in the floor, in the upper floor, you should have another visitor ticket control, and therefore that's what we recommend. Sure, many stadiums, depending on the structure of the stadiums, they have either a security guard there. But if you smile, if you are nice, I mean,
and I'm a super nice person.
I can understand. Yeah, sure. It's a money topic to them, and they can surely afford to have a few guests more. But the other guys, if it comes to the point, if they don't pay, they can't afford it.
So these doors, or the access granted or not granted, they kind of work like a funnel. I do have my ticket. Let's say it's a VIP ticket. I do get through the first entrance, of course. I get to the second, to the VIP, but I'm not able to enter the changing rooms, for example, because there you have the control access ungranted for me in my case.
Absolutely. Now you move to the area where you have, let's say, the employees and the players. That's the non-public areas. Mm-hmm. It's the hidden areas, the secured areas. So in there, we as Dharmakaba, we are an access management company as well. So we have different software systems in place. We have readers, connectors, locks, cylinders, all that type of tools and obstacles to manage access. And in that areas, I mean, you have the back end doors, they will have a cylinder, and only the housekeeper have the master key to get that door open. And if you go, it comes to the changing rooms of the clubs, there are for sure card readers. That means the trainer is presenting his card, the door is going to open, each player have one, or there are supporters, staff, security staff who is opening the doors. So that can be managed by a modern state-of-the-art access management system, which is really in the industry called electronic access. That's possible in a good way.
Would you like to once experience a coach speaking to his team before an important match? Would you love to join that?
I still remember that at one of the last events, there was Mrs. Miracle joining the changing room.
Really?
I don't know. I'm most probably I would be happy to be live in the press conference, you know, right after the match and having the statements and the analytics of this of the coaches. That's to me more would be more interesting, to be honest.
I went to Mönchengladbach once, and I was in the aisle where all the players go from their changing rooms to the pitch, and I was like super fangirling everyone. That was
cool.
Awesome. That was interesting.
Sounds great.
Sustainability and the future.
So, and I was absolutely fangirling over the top, but it was great to experience that once. When you talk to experts from the industry and talking about different experts when it comes to building a huge and planning a huge building, one topic that always crosses the conversation is energy efficiency and sustainability. And now I wonder, I mean, you are the expert when it comes to football stadiums. Can a football stadium even be sustainable? What do you think?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, I think so too.
However, there is a good answer. Yes.
Okay.
There is a need. There is a need. There is a trend. There is a demand. And you know, if you look on a stadium as a stadium, you are maybe wondering, you know, open space,
yeah,
and air, and okay, if we are the Nordic, in Norway, in Sweden, you have heating systems on the tribunes, which, okay, you can question, sure. But if you see it from a building perspective, a stadium is a building. You have many rooms, you have thousands of square meters which are covered, which need to be heated, which need to be climated, cooling down situations. So yes, sustainability is a topic, and I see two aspects. One aspect is really, like in the building, try to keep and to save the energy by having efficient glasses, having efficient walls. Keep a door open as long as it has to be open, but not longer. So saving energy by being very precise and sensitive. The other part is really, if you run an operation in stadium, you have so many actors, and usually they are all power driven. You know, a turnstile needs power. Big signs to guide people needs power. The sausage maker needs power, etc., etc. So there are many aspects. So we as Dormakaba, what we do, we try to develop our equipment in a way that we don't need too much energy in producing the products, but also to have a minimum of energy in operating. So we have four. I would say almost the products, we have an environmental product declaration, which is really looking into that aspect, how much energy you need to create a product, how much energy you need in the operation, and even further in the recycling. So it is a trend which makes absolutely sense to me, and it makes sense to the stadiums. And I want to add one thing. If we see sustainability in a larger topic, we see that we are thinking into a smart development of our components. Saying that means everybody gets heard of smart cities. A stadium is a part of a city or an urban environment. So let's talk about a smart stadium. So if our devices, and we managed, we talked about doors, we talked about entrance control, we talked about access control, we talked about rescue equipment. So if all these components are smart in the way that we are able to communicate to in between of us and to other systems, a stadium operator can much more efficient and therefore sustainable manage his stadium. So, I mean, to give a more visible example, if the stadium is closing down, but you have still people in there and we have the lights active in the area where we have the people and the other areas are out, so we're really safe. Obviously, energy. So topics like that, manage a stadium with all informations you can get from all the devices and give them the direction how to act. So there is much more to come. And we are in there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Can you please tell us about what is to come? Because I'm sure you do have specific information. Can you share something? So what innovations can we expect in the upcoming years?
It will, developments are developments. That's always one of the best secrets. And we do definitely another podcast on this.
Okay.
But I think most things will go definitely in communication to have information and status available in a broader system. And there we can highlight our Entry Works program, which is already ongoing into that direction. So there's definitely more to come, to keep it a bit.
That sounds like you need to be a guest for a future episode, maybe another time. Then maybe you're allowed to tell us more about that.
Thanks. Yes.
The Dormakaba EM competition.
Michael, I know that you are a kind of medium warm football fan, but are you into betting when it comes to the international tournaments?
Definitely. So we have with friends, we do either classic tips and games and tips, yeah, or we do it with our co-workers.
You do.
Yeah.
Okay, so
sure.
Everyone listening who is into betting as well and maybe wants to bet against Michael, feel invited to take part in the Dormakaba betting game. There are epic prizes to win for you. And I wish you good luck. Maybe I will bet myself, so maybe we can compete as well. The link will be in the show notes. So good luck, everyone, and enjoy the European Championship.
Good luck.
And I love to close off the episode. I love asking some hypothetical, some more personal questions at the end. So if you, who has seen more than 100 stadiums across the globe, if you were able to rebuild one stadium, which one would it be?
That's so difficult question.
Because
I think I'm living in Germany and I have been in France in stadiums, in Switzerland, in Germany, in Austria, and basically, I mean, there are different designs, different environments, each had his own atmosphere. Yeah, so you know, what I really love is the Dreisamstadion, a very small one with, I think, 28,000 spectators, and you feel somehow in the middle of, you are part of it, mm-hmm. You know? So it's so narrow. Okay, this is not the biggest one and not the most sophisticated, but yeah, no, I have no choice on that one. What I was saying, we need to rebuild it. There are many good ones. Each one have his own language and his own image.
Mm-hmm.
I like the diversity on this.
What is your favorite, let's say, German stadium from a technical perspective?
Frankfurt.
That was quick.
Straightforward. It's so movable. It's a nice setting. It's still a football arena, so you are close to everything, but you can use it for concerts. You can have it for a congress and be on, let's say, in the evening with only 1,000 people there or 500, and that being on a terrace. So that's really very flexible and it's surprises me again and again. Yeah.
Congratulations to the Eintracht. That was a huge compliment for someone who knows his industry. And final question, who will be European champion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should stay to our national goals.
Yes.
So I'm wearing a white shirt with a few stars on top of it, of DFB. So I'm looking forward at our new German national team with a very young trainer. And he is super, super optimistic and sympathetic. So I would really be very happy if they really make something out of it. Yeah, we have friends in Switzerland, as you know. So we are fine with everybody, but I count on the German team.
That was the most diplomatic, enthusiastic estimation of the result of a European championship I ever heard. Thank you so much, Michael, for having been my guest on this special episode of the Dormakaba podcast, Because It Matters. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot and ciao, ciao.
And to everyone listening, the audience, everyone, have a fantastic European championship. We, of course, root for the German team. So maybe next time that we talk, maybe then we're already European champion. Have a fantastic championship, everyone. Enjoy summer and talk to you next time. Bye.
That was Because It Matters, a Dormakaba podcast. New episodes every month wherever you can listen to a podcast and on dormakaba.com.